Five former Enron executives go on trial today in a Houston courtroom. Three of the men are accused of lying about the capabilities of Enron's high-speed internet network to pump up the company's stock price. They then made more than $150 million selling their own shares. Federal prosecutors say the other two executives faked earnings at Enron's broadband division to minimize its losses. NPR's Wade Goodwin is covering the trial, and he joins me now. Wade, this case is about insider trading, but it's also about internet technology and what appeared possible back in 1999, I mean, versus what might really have been possible.
Yeah, that's what makes this trial so interesting. It's about gilding the lily and whether the pace of technological change over the last decade can offer the defendants enough legal cover. What federal prosecutors are saying is that Joe Herko, the broadband division CEO, and two other executives, Scott Yeager and Rex Shelby, repeatedly lied to investors and the public about what the broadband division was actually capable of. They say these guys pumped up the company's stock with rosy statements about this great network they were building, that it was going to do wonderful things like stream blockbuster movies on demand, and at the same time that these executives were making these predictions, they were getting rich to the tune of about $160 million because they were selling their personal shares of the company stock. The government will argue that this was all a mirage, that there wasn't any there when it came to Enron's broadband division, but the defendants got rich anyway.
Of course, lots of people had high hopes for broadband technology in those days. Can't the defendants simply argue that they got caught with their heads in the clouds just like everyone else?
Yes, they can. Their lawyers are going to make the case that just because there were some technological hurdles that Enron had yet to overcome does not mean that it was out of the realm of possibility that Enron was going to overcome them. And they're going to point to all the amazing developments in internet technology in the last 10 years to help them build that case. Their lawyers are going to say, yes, these defendants did make optimistic statements, but technology was advancing quickly. Enron was a company with a can-do reputation, and that these weren't lies, but statements of expectation. And finally, they're going to argue that this was not all smoke and mirrors, that there was real substance to Enron's broadband division, and they'll try to prove that to the jury.
So this isn't going to be that easy for federal prosecutors.
That's right. We're going to see what the Enron task force is made of in the courtroom now. But it's not like the defense doesn't have its problems, too. WorldCom's former CEO Bernie Evers just lost his case a few weeks ago, and the jury issued a severe rebuke there. And since its collapse, Enron has kind of become the poster child for thieving executives. That public perception is a real mountain the defense has to climb, in addition to the facts of the prosecution's case.
And then is this the same challenge that Enron's former top executives, Kenneth Lay and Jeffrey Skilling, will face in their upcoming trials?
That's right. Lay and Skilling have a right to expect a presumption of innocence, but all the publicity that surrounded Enron's collapse, that's served to poison the jury pool, because in big cases like this, when the trial is over, jurors want to be seen as having done the right thing. That's only a problem whenever the perception of what the right thing should be is already widespread before the trial starts.
Wade, thanks very much.
You're quite welcome.
NPR's Wade Goodwin.